In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Mark, the 8th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you die after being tortured and suffering much from some disease. Or, you die after being tortured and suffering much because you live in a country like China, Bangladesh, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, or Iran, where people are routinely tortured and killed because they are Christians. You lose out on a job opportunity or a starting position on a team to someone who is much less qualified because they have better connections than you. Maybe they're the boss's son or the coach's son. Or you lose out on a job opportunity or starting position because you refuse to play on Sunday morning. Your reputation is ruined because of some private sin that has now become public knowledge. Or, you are gossiped and lied about because you refuse to approve and participate in some sin that is popular and widely accepted in the world. In each of these scenarios, the first happens because we live in a world of sin and sinners. There is anguish, suffering, and pain because of this sin-filled world in which we live. And the other, there is anguish, suffering, and pain because you are a Christian. Some things happen to us in this world, and they happen to everyone and anyone, regardless of whether you are a Christian or not, because of sin, your sin or someone else's. And then there are things that happen to us in this world because we bear the name of Christ. And we have to distinguish between those two in order to understand what Jesus is telling us today about the cross and what it means for those who follow him to carry the cross, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. Not everybody wants that type of Christ, the suffering Christ. Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responds by saying, "You are the Christ." All well and good. But then Jesus begins to teach them what it means to be the Christ. He says, "It is necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things, to be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, to be killed, and after 3 days to rise again." This is what it means to be the Christ. It means the cross. It means suffering. It means death. But Peter doesn't want that kind of Christ. Maybe because he doesn't want to be that kind of Christian. And so he rebukes Jesus. "You are the Christ, but not this way." And Jesus has to rebuke him. "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking the things of God, but the things of man. You're speaking with the voice of the devil. You're trying to get me to do something different than what my Father has sent me to do. Trying to get me to be a different Christ. Trying to prevent me from going to the cross. But this, Peter, is the Christ that I have come to be for you." Those who follow Jesus, those who are members of the body of Christ Jesus, won't have to go looking for the cross. See, if you're a Christian who bears the name of Christ and follows Christ, the cross cannot be far from you. Whether the word of God, his gospel, is preached and received and heard, wherever that happens, the cross cannot be far away. Only try to be a godly ruler, to uphold just laws, try to overturn unjust laws, to rule according to the will of God for this world. Only try being a godly preacher, to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified only, to preach law and gospel faithfully, to condemn unrepentant sinners, and to comfort repentant sinners with the gospel and the forgiveness of all their sins. Only try to be a godly parent, a mother or a father, Try to raise your children in the fear and admonition of our Lord. Try to show them and demonstrate and tell them that they too are sinners. And then to show them by example where they can find the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of all their sins here in the divine service on a Sunday morning. Only try to do those things, and you will find the cross. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go looking for it. It will come to you. Luther says, let the devil worry about where to find wood to make a cross for you. Let the world worry about where to find the stick to scourge your skin. Jesus says, if you follow me, you will deny yourself. Take up your cross, and you will follow me. You will lose your life in this world. You will suffer, and you will die. This is what it means to be a member of his body. This is what it means to be a Christian. See, we live in a country, by God's mercy, where we have not yet resisted in our struggle against sin to the point of shedding our own blood. We have been granted, in this country, a measure of freedom to exercise our religion, a type of freedom that is almost unheard of and unknown to any other country in this world. It is not yet illegal in this country to gather to hear his word preached and taught on a Sunday morning and to receive the gifts of Jesus' own body and blood in the divine service. It is not yet illegal in this country to receive the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. It is not yet illegal to exercise your conscience against the compelling to sin. Even if you lose a job, or some money, or some friends or family, it is not yet illegal. In this country, we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding our own blood, as so many Christians have throughout the world for professing and confessing their faith. You know, literally, what it means to bear the cross of Jesus, to physically and spiritually suffer and to die, because they bear the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So many Christians throughout the world know that. We in this country have yet to see it. See, at this point, the Christian faith for us, the confession of our Christian faith, is merely inconvenienced. So, the question of American Christians then, of you and me, is not about physical suffering. It is not about outward, external, serious persecution. The question is, if we do not hear the word, receive his gifts of forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Christ Jesus alone and worship him when it is inconvenient for us, how will we do so when there is a threat to our freedom or to our very lives? If we do not set an example and teach our children about sin and salvation when it is inconvenient for us, how will we do so when we suffer? When our children are no longer Christians? If we do not rejoice in the freedom that we have when it is inconvenient for us, how will we rejoice in the midst of our sufferings? And if we do not speak God's word of truth, speak to uphold his law about a whole host of issues in this world when it is inconvenient, when we might lose our friends or respect, we will certainly not speak up when we lose our freedom or our lives. Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me, if anyone is ashamed of my word, my gospel, in this adulterous and sinful generation, then a son of man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in glory, the glory of his Father and the holy angels. The truth is, if Christ has left us here on our own to carry his cross, if he has given us the cross as a test to see if we will hold up in the midst of persecution, to see if we can sort of pass the test of faith in the midst of suffering, then there is no doubt that we will all and have all failed miserably. And when it comes down to it, we will deny him and serve ourselves, our own health, our own wealth, our own reputation, our status, our money, our possessions, rather than serving Jesus. See, the problem is not out there in the world. The problem is in here, in me, in you. We have no strength or power in and of ourselves. We are weak, poor, miserable sinners. But Jesus? Jesus was not ashamed of your weakness or sin. He clothed himself in it. He who knew no sin became sin for you. He is not ashamed of your ungodliness. Jesus is not ashamed to be called a friend of sinners. He is not ashamed to be, at just the right time, the living and atoning sacrifice of God's love for you. He freely and willingly chose to love you, who is by nature an enemy, to love you by his sacrifice, by his willing obedience, by his innocent suffering and bitter death, in order that you might be made his friend, that you might be called a beloved son of the living God. Christ is not ashamed to be your friend, a friend of sinners. He will not be a friend of those who need no Savior, who need no forgiveness, who need no comfort or peace. But Jesus is always a friend of sinners. He will not be ashamed to give sinners the forgiveness of their sins. And he gives you this day the fruit of his cross, which he alone carried, which he alone was nailed to for you. He gives you the fruit of the forgiveness of all your sins, of eternal life. Even though you die, yet shall you live. And he gives the promise of his strength, of his power, of his might, of his victory in his eternal presence, where Jesus promises that he will never leave you and never forsake you, but be with you always, no matter what you are facing. Because he has engraved you, he has written your names in the very palms of his own hand with his own precious blood. God is not angry at you. No, Jesus gives you the fruit of his cross so that you are able to endure, so that you are able to persevere over sin, death, and over the devil, so that you can bear up under the cross that is laid upon you. Jesus does not hate his own body. He does not hate you. He purifies it. He purifies you. He cleanses you. He forgives you in order to renew you. So the cross is laid upon you to beat down and to weigh down your own sinful nature. And the horrible suffering that comes because you are a Christian, because of those contradictions between Christ and the world, he actually uses to produce in you endurance, and in that endurance to produce character, and in that character to produce hope. And that hope does not put us to shame, because we trust and hope in Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our victory. And he does not fail you, and he is not ashamed of you during his life. He is not ashamed of you on his cross. He is not ashamed to give you his own body and blood. He will not be ashamed of you on the final day. Your hope is in Jesus. You trust in Jesus. And you and your hope will not be put to shame, because Jesus, the Christ, does not lie. Because you know the very end of the story. You know that what comes after a cross is the resurrection. See, that is your hope. It is your hope for the cross that you suffer. And it is also your hope for the consequences of sin that you suffer. All the effects of sin in this world will be answered, will be made right in the resurrection. That is your help. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Where he is, there you shall be also. And because of him, you shall not be put to shame. In Jesus' name, amen.